New constituencies are due to be drawn and may jostle the political landscape many of us were already familiar with. The goal, of course, is to accommodate the population growth the country has seen. But with constituencies clashing and political lines growing jagged, is the prospect of a satisfactory solution totally unrealistic? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. So, the unenviable job of redrawing Down constituencies is for the Electoral Commission, and it's going to be an uphill battle. There's real grunt work in this. It's a desperate search for compromise between numbers and space. And sometimes, even if the number of people technically fits within the space, they may not want to be there. In fact, they may not be wanted. However, reshuffling isn't left up to choice or chance. It needs to happen as Ireland's population surges. Article 16 of the Constitution specifies that there must be one TD for between 20,000 and 30,000 people, and that's everyone, not just those who are eligible to vote in the area, all those who live and breathe within that area. This means you can suddenly be part of a new constituency outside of a county boundaries. France went through a similar process in 2010 while redistricting its legislative constituencies. It wasn't without growing pains, but it went ahead as planned. So, is just the redrawing of constituencies the right way to deal with this? Well, joining me now to discuss is Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent. Sean, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Thanks for having me and letting me nerd out about political boundaries. I mean, this is like Christmas.
Okay, we're trying to keep listeners here on News Talk Daily, Sean.
Let me just push my glasses further up my nose and
okay, we're not here to discuss the merits of Article 16 of the Constitution, although we are. But I do think it is fair to say, right, that within Ireland, parish boundaries, your county, your town land, that is sacred to people.
Yeah, it is to an awful lot of people. And you only have to look at the last time this was done in advance of the 2024 election, and places like Urlingford and Kilkenny is probably the most egregious one. That got moved into a Tipperary constituency, which had people in that area just like, well, whatever about any other counties, but Tipperary and Kilkenny, to merge those two was almost sacrilegious, to the point where you had people writing on their ballot. There was one person quoted saying, "I'd rather vote for Hitler than a Tipperary man," which probably
that was a spoiled vote.
I think that was pretty safely in the spoil vote category when you count them all up. So, look, it's difficult, it's tricky, and the last time this was done was the first time the new Electoral Commission did it, and they made a big job of trying to restore county boundaries, and they actually did that, I think, in 10 different constituencies, but they were never going to be able to get it perfect, and there's always someone whose nose is out of joint after it.
Why do you think that we treat particularly those county boundaries, and I do it, okay, so no judgment here, folks, like their international borders.
It's something weird, isn't it? And I grew up on the Waterford-Kilkenny border to the point of where, like, there's a GA pitch across from our house, and if you score in one end, you're in Waterford, and you score in the other end, you're in Kilkenny. And yet still, I was very clear it was in Waterford. I will fight that hill, the Ferrybank battle, as long as I'm alive, even if all the post as a compromise came with both counties listed on it. It's a personal thing to an awful lot of people, and people who live in border areas, be that the border with the north or just on a county border. Like, it does, it's usually local slagging, isn't it? It's slagging the fella three doors down who says we're in Kilkenny, and I'm saying we're in Waterford. There's just something a bit personal about it. And it's where you might live there, but you might go to school 10 kilometres over, you might work 10 kilometres over, and you might really, you associate, you identify as a Waterford man rather than a Kilkenny man or wherever it is. We all take it very personally.
And actually, if you go to the city, I think it's a little bit different because, I mean, we're not quite, I think, the UK approach to postcodes here in Ireland, but, you know, some people, let's say, living in Dublin 4, if they were put over to Dublin 6, would question if democracy can actually survive that.
Would be absolutely yeah, because to people outside the capital, they're all dubs. They're just all dubs. But then, you know, even on the north side, you talk to someone in Raheny, they are definitely, look at how long DCU fought to be classed as being in Glasnevin and not Ballymun. And that'll tell you all you need to know about it.
And actually, right, on a more serious note, this happened to me recently in the last election. A sliver of the road that I happen to live on was moved to a different constituency. And the truth of the matter is, right, the vast majority of representatives within that new constituency have no idea of what's happening in my constituency. So they don't, and by my constituency, I mean my former constituency. And any issues I will have will be with the former constituency, the place where I actually live, shop, go to the community centre, my children play in the local parks. I'm never going to be in that new place. So I actually, to be honest, I do feel a little bit unrepresented.
You're disenfranchised by the system. This is all about you, really, isn't it? At the end of the day,
that's why we're doing this episode. But I did. I looked at all. So first of all, it was a brand new list of politicians, and only that I work in this area. I don't think people would know who they were necessarily. I don't know how they perform locally on the ground. And it goes back to that. If I have issues with something in the area that I basically live, work, socialise in, it won't be. It won't be where those people are.
No,
it isn't in the new constituency.
There's kind of two sides to it. So you're right, a lot of people wouldn't be clued into maybe who all of their TDs are anyway, let alone moving constituency and having a whole new bunch of it. It's again the matter of where you live versus where you actually spend most of your time. But also then there's a kind of wider question about, is that what TDs are for? Is that not what your local councillor is for? Because the local electoral areas don't really change all that much. And so you should have the councillors in the area who will be able to deal with the road or the school or whatever. And it depends on what your view is on a TD, really. Like, do you view the TDs as the Healy Rays, where everything is local? Or are they national politicians and legislators who actually were electing to look after big picture stuff rather than the parish pump? But I think a lot of people still see the TD as the parish pump, don't they?
I think they do, to be honest. Okay. You know me, you can nerd out on all things political. I love a piece of legislation, right? I love a rule and I love an examination of the Constitution, right? And the Constitution does come into this because there's actually really clear rules laid down within the Constitution. What do they say?
There needs to be a TD for every between 20,000 and 30,000 people. So actually, if you took the lower end of that now, if it was for every 20,000, we'd actually have 265 TDs at the minute instead of the 174. Obviously, we don't take that for very practical reasons. And instead, it is the higher end. But what it means is we have an expanding population and people who live here. And these figures are all done by the census. So the next time around, it'll be Census 2027. The Boundary Commission will report in 2028. And then there'll be an election, at least planned for 2029, and how it's done. And each time you have to add TDs in different areas. The Constitution also says that the size of constituencies can be no smaller than three. So you can, that's the smallest as a three-seat constituency. It actually doesn't set a higher limit. You could, in theory, go as high as you like, but in legislation, there's a cap of five, effectively. So you can only have between three and five, which means if you have an area like Carlow Kilkenny, and this is why Urlingford got moved, they had, I think it was about 157,000 people in it, yet it was already a five-seat constituency. They couldn't go up one. Carlow didn't have enough of a population to justify being a constituency on its own. And so they took a little chunk around Urlingford and fired it into Tipperary instead. And these are all the decisions you have to make again. There is, and now we're getting into, when I use words like electoral variance, now we're getting into the nerddom of it. This is basically how far above or below that 30,000 limits certain places are. Some are pretty bang in the middle. You vary as like Donegal, where I think it's 8% above that threshold. So you could argue that they are less represented than some other counties. And then the lowest is about 7 or 8% under. So they have a bit more room for growth. Where that comes into the next time this is going to be done is that Donegal will probably have an extra 10 to 15,000 people, and so you will likely have to split it and go back to the old model of Donegal South and North. Same in Kerry. We saw it happen this time in Tipperary, where Tip was a five-seater. It's now two three-seat constituencies. And you have, that's where you get into a bit of bother then. And the best example of it probably is Wicklow-Wexford, where between both of them were five-seat constituencies, so you couldn't add a sixth. You couldn't make it that way. Both of them, probably between them, justified 11 TDs. And so what they did is they made this sort of a hybrid. They made a Wicklow constituency of four seats, a Wexford constituency of four seats, and then a Wicklow-Wexford in the middle of three seats, which took in Gorey, Arklow, that kind of area. The weird, and this is one of the weird shakeouts of it, all the TDs that were elected in that constituency were from Wexford. So technically, Wexford actually has seven TDs and Wicklow now has four as a result of this shakeup. But that's the kind of divides that they're trying to make in order to fit into that constitutional limit.
Now, the Constitution was obviously written back in 1937. I presume they're writing it the year before that. But then it was signed off in 1937 when the population was about 2.95 million. We're now up at nearly 5.5 million. So do you think what they set down there, that there had to be a representative for every 20 to 30,000 people, envisaged that we'd end up with a population like this?
No, I don't. And there's an awful lot of the Constitution has actually held up relatively well, given how different Ireland is from that day and the way the people have written it. And obviously it's been changed and amended a number of times. So no, I don't think they did. I don't think they could have foreseen that we would surpass the population or get close to surpassing the population that was there at the famine, and that we would be expanding at the rate that we are, which was absolutely phenomenal because of inward migration, because of population boom, all the rest of it. So now you have to question, is it fit for purpose? If you look at the UK, their ratio is about 1 to every 90,000. Like, it's very different.
92,000. And we've 1 to every 30,000. Now, their system's really different.
It's very different. So it's hard to compare. But you can also argue, like, people don't know their MP in the same way they know your TD. And that's one of the beauties of Irish politics, is that most people have a good idea who their TD is, know how to contact them, or they know somebody who knows somebody who knows the TD. And we have a much closer relationship with them than they do in other countries. And once you start tinkering with that, does that change? At the same time, if you keep going the way we are, we will have, the estimate is about 12 to 15 extra TDs in 2029. So that's nearly 190. So within two elections, you'd have more than 200. Do we really need more than 200 TDs?
Yeah, and if you think that out, by the mid-century, we could have 250 TDs in Ireland.
Yeah.
Is that unmanageable? I mean, look at the House of Commons. I don't know how many hundreds are in there.
600 odd, isn't there? And they can't all fit in. And that's one of the problems with Leinster House, actually, is Leinster House is nearly a capacity. The Dáil Chamber can't physically take a massive amount more. They've already had to strip out space that was there for officials and turn that into seats for TDs. I think I did a calculation before where I landed on about, if you stripped everything out and added more seats up where there's kind of a little bit of a gallery, you could get about 206 maximum into the Dáil Chamber as it is now.
Is that like Ryanair seats, that's really narrow and you can't bring your handbag in with you?
100%. That is, you have to pay for the little glass of water the ushers bring out. That is pure Ryanair maths that we're fitting in there. So to comfortably do it in the leisure and luxury that our politicians are due, it poses other questions. Then you have to talk about moving the Dáil. Maybe you have this has all been explored before, looking at maybe having a new Dáil on a greenfield site in Athlone or somewhere and selling Leinster House. But then you have to remember the complex is massive. It houses thousands of staff and all this sort of stuff. So one, logistically, it's becoming a bit of a nightmare. And even trying to keep the space in Leinster House for some of the journalists that are there. We were, of course, bottom of the pecking order when it came to the re-divvy of offices for new TDs, because you don't need to find just an office for a TD. You have to have an office for them and an office for their staff members. So Leinster House is full to bursting point. And that takes out then even just all the logistics of actually having that many TDs, and do they all serve a purpose? Would you say every TD is not brilliant? Every TD is not absolutely needed. You need to have some fair representation. It's what's the cap? And I think people get to about 200. See, for a country of Ireland's size, that's probably about right.
So do you have a window in your room now? Did I hear? Is
no, that I do.
You do have a window. Okay.
We fought tooth and nail just to keep that. We have airflow.
You do, a natural light.
Gavin Riley are sharing an office.
Earlier this year, Michael McDougall, the independent senator, he did table this private member's bill. He said we need to have a referendum to change the limit. How is that received? And what happened to that conversation?
Well, the bill is still within the Oireachtas. It hasn't really progressed a huge amount. And again, you come down to, this is Turkey's voting for Christmas to a certain degree. TDs, are they going to vote against jobs for TDs? Are they going to put a referendum? And how well would it be received? I imagine if you said to an awful lot of people, here's a vote to cap the number of TDs, they'd probably say, yeah, actually fine. And here, kind of put it as a pushback against the government. So there's definitely that in train. I think it would pass, but it's not, definitely not top of this government's agenda. And if you're going to go to a referendum, which governments almost always lose, go to the expense of all that sort of stuff.
But you wouldn't probably be having a referendum to put a cap. You would be having a referendum to say we need to have one TD for every 40,000 people or every 50,000 people.
Or remove it entirely and make it a matter for legislation and do like you did with the Eighth Amendment, and you have a bill going alongside it saying, here's what we're proposing to do, here's what the legislation says. The downside of that is obviously governments in the future can change legislation and make it a bit more difficult. So, yeah, it's a tricky one. And there's actually, funny enough, there's two referendums in this space that the government is thinking about. One is that, the other is expanding the number of ministers, because there is a constitutional cap on the number of ministers at 15 at the moment, and the government is cabinet members at least. And the government is saying that's not enough now that we have so many more TDs and so many more people. So there is definitely a logic to capping the number of TDs. At the same time, we have a bigger population. We have a bigger country. There's a bigger civil service. Government spending was less than 100 million three or four budgets ago, and Jack Chambers is now estimating it's going to be 150 billion within 10 years. Do you need more TDs and therefore more ministers to manage a bigger population is another question that's being considered.
But it sounds like it's a constitutional problem and a question that nobody really wants to talk about.
Not really. I mean, they think they can get away with it, certainly for the next election. After that, it becomes an issue. I think that golden number is 200. If you said to people, and if the Electoral Commission comes back and says, yeah, we're going to have more than 200 TDs, I think that's when a bit of public anger would kick up. There's always a public backlash to more TDs anyway, but it's relatively manageable once it's under 200.
I mean, there was a claim made that some of Ireland's three-seater constituencies, that they were actually drawn up to try and keep Fianna Fáil out of government. To what extent is this true and possible?
That's the famous Tullymander, is what it was called. So it was Jim Tully, he was the Labour Minister for Local Government in the 70s in advance of the 1977 election. And he did redraw the constituencies with the aim of keeping Fianna Fáil out of power. They made more three-seat constituencies. They put them in areas where Labour and Fine Gael were strong, mostly in Dublin. And it absolutely spectacularly backfired, and Fianna Fáil romped into power in the 1977 election. And when they did, Jack Lynch, who was Taoiseach at the time, actually changed the rules so that every boundary commission after that had to be independent of government. And now we have the new Electoral Commission, which is independent of government again, although there was kickback from Fine Gael, because one of the members of that commission, and I think there's only five or six members, was the former Fianna Fáil TD, John Curran. So they were kind of arguing, well, is it really independent? The Fianna Fáilers seem to know what's going on a bit quicker than we do. So I don't think there is, it's been taken out of politics to a large degree, and I don't think you can have that kind of gerrymandering that was definitely tried in the 70s really anymore. It's more about how the hell do we manage this? We're limited by the constitution and by legislation, and while they did try to restore county boundaries as much as possible, there are ones where it's just not going to be possible at the next election.
What's also really interesting is, as we have this increase in our population and constituencies getting bigger and more TDs being required to represent the number of people within that constituency, that tends to fare the smaller parties better, doesn't it? You know, because they tend to, a lot of them get in on those later seats, perhaps, than the first, you know, two or three seats, which often tend to go to the bigger parties.
Yeah, it's pure maths. If you're in a three-seat constituency, you need 25% of the vote. If you're in a five-seat constituency, I think it's 12.5. So, it's just easier. I wonder, that's the perceived wisdom. I wonder, has that changed now that we don't really have, you know, we always had two big parties and a small party and a host of others. Now we have three kind of medium parties and a bunch of small to want to be medium parties, and like the Sock Dems and Labour and stuff. So it definitely does favour those. But like, if you take a five-seat constituency, even if you made it six-seat, whatever the maths is on that, it's be around 10%, maybe a little under 10% to get a seat. Then you're definitely getting one for Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, possibly a second for either or, depending on it. And then the best of the rest, so a Sock Dem and maybe a Labour, Independent Ireland. It certainly lowers the bar for someone getting in and getting that final seat, the bigger the constituencies are.
Yeah, and what does that ultimately mean for coalition governments going forward, or for the strength of those parties within the Dáil?
Nightmare. That's what it means. An absolute and utter nightmare for government formation. It's going to be like that from now on anyway, because Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, if there was an election tomorrow and we took the polls, like, they would need another leg to their stool already. There wouldn't be enough in Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil independence. They'd need some other part to put together. And it just leads to, like, if you go back to the 70s and even the 30s, both Éamon de Valera and Gareth Fitzgerald wanted to change us to first past the post, like the UK. And their argument was, in the future, you'll have coalition governments that are so weak that they get nothing done. Now, first past the post would be a total mess here. It's a total mess in the UK. You see Keir Starmer winning, what did he win, 60% of the seats on 30% of the vote. It's not perfect. But what they argued is actually coming true, in that forming a government is becoming harder and harder. But it's, look, that's not to say one party can't be resurgent and take two or three seats in a constituency. Look at Fianna Fáil. They took three seats in Carlow-Kilkenny last time around in a five-seat constituency on about 30-35% of the vote. So long counts, What we need is electronic voting. That's
I'm not
I'm getting
going there
here.
Today.
Long counts.
I'm not going there today.
5-6 days in whatever constituency in Donegal.
You
in
live for
County.
That stuff.
I do to a point. Usually at day 5, I'm like, just let me go, please.
Look, we have a new census, right? It'll come out, I think, May 2027. Mm. And we'll see just how big the population of Ireland has gotten. Then there's going to have to be moves again, isn't there? There's going to be questions around this.
As soon as they have those figures and we have an extra 200,000 to 500,000, whatever it ends up being, usually the next year, that's when the Boundary Commission publishes its report and when all of the TDs and senators, they're already starting to look at it. Like even on the day of the Dublin Central by-election count, I was talking to people going, God, this is going to be a bare bit of a constituency, isn't it? And they were already going, well, there'll probably be a fifth seat if you look at the, you know, they're already thinking about this and where they're going to lose an area of their vote. And we've seen Boundary Commissions cost TDs their seats very often in the past. You look at Noel Rock of Fine Gael, he lost kind of leafy suburbs out of Dublin Northwest into Dublin Central and lost his seat next time around, never won it back, is now working in the private sector. You've seen people like Frankie Boyle, who's now, not Frankie Boyle, Frankie Feehan. That's totally different. If he was winning a Dáil seat, that'd be a great entertainment. Frankie Feehan, who is from Boyle, which is why I was thinking of that. Boyle has gone between Roscommon and Sligo Leitrim several times, and every time it does, he's in danger of losing his seat. So there's just areas like that. But the farce of it too, if you look at Laois Offaly, so it is, in the current Dáil, it is two constituencies of Laois and Offaly. In the last Dáil, it was a combined constituency of Laois Offaly. In the previous Dáil, it was two constituencies of Laois and Offaly. In the Dáil before that, it was a combined. So it's been combining and uncombining for years, depending on the commission and where the populations have gone. And that's just confusing for people, if nothing else.
There's a lot of information in that head, isn't there, Sean?
Useless, unemployable, random facts that come out every time there's a Boundary Commission or an election and then I go into cold storage.
Until News Talk Daily invites you on and says, nerd out on our watch
and
here.
And I found, and I went looking last night and found my Boundary Commission 2023 report and the associated maps that I still have to pin up on my wall. And yeah, just a great little flashback.
That's it from the podcast today, folks. Thanks as always, Sean. It's always a pleasure. You can listen back to every episode of News Talk Daily on the Go Loud player. For now, from two nerds here in the News Talk Daily studio, goodbye.